This week on Saw Something Scary, we're going to talk about that new Batman trailer, or teaser, rather. Also, speaking of superheroes, is Captain America about to become the new Isaac Yankum? And we go long form, good God, on The Boy 2. All this and more after the break. Saw Something Scary coming at you right now. What's up, everybody? Derek Zhu, Jeff Wright, back with you with another episode of Saw Something Scary. Jeff, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. I missed recording, and it's good to sit down and talk about a horror movie with you.
It's good to sit down and talk to you. I think that's about as far as I'm going to go.
This is what we call foreshadowing.
Yeah, holy smokes. So we're going to talk about The Boy 2 this week, and I'm awful excited to do that, if you can't tell. For those of you that love it when Derek rips a movie apart, this is your episode, so stick around. It's going to be good stuff. But before we can get to that, we've got to get to everyone's favorite part of the show.
Jeff hates trailers.
And Jeffro, I've got two teasers for you that I want to talk about. And then I've got a full-length trailer that I'm not only going to talk to you about, but I'm going to ask you to watch.
Oh, okay.
Not right now. But, after the recording of this, I would like for you to sit down and watch it, because I think you'll be interested enough. But I also think you need to see it just to get the full grasp of it.
OK. Well, I'm intrigued. Let's go.
All right. So let's talk that Stranger Things teaser or straight out the gate. I know that friend of the show, Jason Hull, posted that in our We Saw Something Scary Facebook group. Did you have a chance to catch it?
I did. Yeah, okay. I did. I guess we don't need to spoiler alert that, right?
I don't think so. It's been out there for what, roughly like a week, week and a half?
Yeah, and people will watch it. I mean, anybody who knows us could probably write my reaction. Don't give me Harbor Survival in the freaking teaser.
Right.
Just let that be part of the season.
Yeah.
Even if it's the opening scene of the season. Just let me get it there.
Yeah, I agree. I think because we all knew, like, it was inevitable that David Harbour was coming back. They're not going to take – I mean, for all intents and purposes, this is Hopper's show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, he's – as far as, like, the adults go, he's the main character that they focus on. And you're just not going to up and let him leave, especially in a show where – well, I was going to say where people come back from the dead, but rest in peace, Bob and Barb, for that matter. But, you know, there's a lot of supernatural elements to the show. I guess that's the best way of putting it. And so we just all knew that Hopper wasn't dead. So I don't know why the one teaser thing you want to put out there is him working some kind of chain gang in Mother Russia.
Yeah. I think there's even a version of the exact same teaser that still lets you do that. And if you really feel like the show that everybody loves and watches and, you know, has justified Netflix's hopes against Disney Plus, if you really feel like you've got to tease people into watching it, cut that thing off when we see the back of David Harbour's character, someone who's vaguely his same size, right?
Right.
That's enough to say, is he? Without giving it away. And yet again, I'm going to say, if it's the opening scene, still just give it to us in the season. And if it's not even all that important to the plot of the season, right? So you're like, well, we can give it away because the season's actually going in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just let it still be a nice surprise when people tune in to watch the first episode.
Yeah.
I can't see any good reason to stick that, particularly for such a successful show, to stick that in the teaser.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like your thoughts on it. Why don't we just show this big hulking man, because he's bald now?
Yeah, sure.
So why don't we just show the silhouette or the back of this big hulking guy and be like, oh, that could be Hopper, or that could be a new character, or, you know, whatever the situation is. Even yeah, it is frustrating. I don't understand why that's going on. Let me tell you this part, though. I got an email yesterday where Stranger Things is still shooting in Atlanta, and they were looking for background players.
Okay.
So this thing isn't all the way done yet. So I guess maybe that was one of the reasons why they put that out there, was just like, hey, we haven't put any new content out in several months. So maybe we should just throw them a bone and let them see something. Sure. But still, like, give people something else besides that. It just, because that was the hook for season three, was, you know, whether or not Hopper made it out alive. So I.
Yeah, just save it for the payoff, you know, for the actual season. I don't understand what motivates these studios or these trailer companies to give away their good stuff in a trailer. I mean, I guess it's that they want that initial click or ticket buy, and that's all they really care about. But, you know, in my thinking, the run of the series and how many people show up for the second weekend and the third weekend counts too, right? In overall haul. So I don't know, man. I'm just sitting over here in Sanity Island telling people not to give stuff away that they don't have to.
Right. I agree.
It's frustrating. But, I mean, of course, I'm going to watch it day one, and I don't know that I'll binge watch it, but I'll watch it as quickly as my free time allows me to. You know, I'm still totally hooked on Stranger Things.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like that there is a law of diminishing returns with that show, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But, you know, we're at a different stage with the show now. We've talked often how you and I both really like character development.
Mm-hmm.
And so the scary stuff in this show is fine. And the mythology of the world they're in, that's great. I'm not, like, bored with that. But at this point, I just kind of want to see how the kids grow up and, you know, how Harbor's character and Winona's character, you know, do they get together? Just like basic stuff that we did with The Office, only The Office wasn't supposed to be scary.
But it was.
I mean, outside of Creed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I just feel like that, you know, when the show came out in 2016, that first season came out, it was appointment viewing.
Sure.
And then when the second season came out, of course, everybody was like, holy smokes, we got to watch this too. And then the third season came out, and maybe it was because there had been some time that had lapsed between the second and third season. You know, I think there was like a year and a half where we didn't have new Stranger Things.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't hear as much about season three as you heard about one and two.
Huh.
And so I wonder if that's also, and this is just me freeform thinking out loud, just trying to piece all this together, so I apologize. But I wonder if that's not the reason why. Because they were like, oh, snap, people weren't really talking about season three that much. We've got to make sure that they know that Harbor's coming back and, you know, the Hopper is going to be a big part of this season.
Yeah. Now, that makes the most sense out of any line of, you know, reasoning that I could imagine.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem necessary to me, but maybe that's the case. Maybe they're feeling, you know, The Mandalorian and Disney Plus have dominated kind of the conversation about streaming stuff for so long. They've got to try to fight back. I don't know. I would just save that moment for when the season drops and let it be as powerful as possible at the opening. But, you know, maybe there's a fear driving them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I would rather have word of mouth over time than to reveal that now and give away like a big thing of your season.
Yeah, it just seems like organic people talking about your product it is more powerful than you dropping some crazy detail. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather have people on Twitter being like, did you see, can you believe? Because that conversation tends to run longer than just, oh, hey, share this trailer. And then we're kind of done with it once we share the trailer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of follow-up conversation unless you're recording a horror movie podcast or you've got a friend who's really into Stranger Things. You just kind of, you hit retweet and you're done. I'd rather have it in the context of the season.
Right. Especially due to the fact that I'm looking at their IMDb page right now, and we won't get new episodes until 2021.
Oh, yeah.
I expected October of this year.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they're still, you know, they're still filming. But my goodness, man, why would you? I don't know why you would leave that hook out there for so long.
Yeah. The timing on that. I didn't realize how long it was either. That timing kind of makes it feel desperate.
Yeah.
Huh. The story's developing as we talk about it. But yeah, just that kind of feels thirsty.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So anyway, be on the lookout for more spoilers from Stranger Things, I guess, as the year goes on. Spoiler alert, Bob and Barb are both coming back. And as is Billy, as Satan, I guess. I don't know.
They're the new BBs from the first season of Saturday Night Live.
Great reference. Yeah. So anyway, just thought we needed to talk about that. Speaking of trailers that have or teasers that have polarizing opinions, easy for me to say, we have a new look at the Batman.
Yeah.
And I don't think you and I have had the chance to talk about this. I've talked about it with a few other of my friends, but I don't think you and I have had the chance to talk about it. So, again, number one, did you watch the trailer or the teaser, rather? The suit reveal, I guess, was more accurate.
I did.
Okay. And then number two, what'd you think about it?
You know, on this one, can you go first?
Sure.
I have powerful conclusions that are just inappropriately rigid. So I'd like to hear someone sane speak first.
So I wasn't sold 100% on it from the suit reveal. I'm still not 100% sold on it. However, after watching The Lighthouse and, all the praise that we gave Pattinson for it in that episode, I'm cautiously optimistic. I can see, there's several friends of mine that are super pumped about it. And I'm not super pumped. There's a lot that I'm worried about with this one, but I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm willing to roll with it and to see what Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson have in store for us with this. Now, there's been some other like behind the scenes photos that have come up, or like paparazzi photos that have come up of the Pattinson stunt double on a motorcycle. And you have a little bit of a better sense of what the outfit looks like. I don't hate it. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm being very agnostic. Like I'm just not. I'm not taking a side here. But
I think that's sane, Derek. I think that like we got one look at a guy in a Batman costume for a Batman movie. We probably shouldn't be life and death on that. You know what I mean? I'm kind of glad that you're like, okay. Because, I mean, that's really what it deserves. Everything in pop culture has to be treated like it's some revelatory event, an epiphany. I think it's fine to say, yeah, okay, I didn't hate it. Let's see what you got from here on out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be as optimistic as I can be about it. It's not... I'm not in love with it yet, but also we haven't heard Pattinson talk. We haven't really seen anything outside of the suit. So I want to keep my – I want to try to hide these negative feelings and be as optimistic as I possibly can about it.
Yeah, good for you. And I'm glad to meet you there. And in fact, you've kind of captured what I thought about the suit reveal. I thought I would despise it, and I fully confess that – Pattinson's jawline jutting out from the cowl is still weird, when I look at it.
Yeah. It also looks like the Daredevil suit.
Huh. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Yeah. Have you heard these rumors? See, all my strong opinions are based on unsubstantiated rumors on the internet. And so that's why I say I'm a crazy person. Have you heard the rumor that this is going to be a much more detective-based Batman?
I've heard that rumor for a long time now. Yeah.
I'm all in on that. If we're going to get a young Batman who's just cracking the case, that's maybe the most unique thing you can do with a character at this point. Yeah. But my general like lack of loathing, which I expected to loathe it. My general lack of loathing is a positive thing. But have you heard the rumor that this is going to be based on Batman Year 2?
Yes.
I hate Batman Year 2. I think it's one of the worst things that has ever come out since the, let's say, the first 5 years of Batman's existence as a comic book character. Mm. We've talked about this. The early Batman, like, used guns and was just a different guy than the character we've all kind of come to love and appreciate over the subsequent decades. Mm-hmm. Well, year two throws all that stuff back into the mix. Like, Batman is carrying around Joe Chill's gun and is thinking about using it. And it just seems like it's some alternate dimensional take on Batman that's much less satisfactory.
Okay.
And I have seen DC use the worst version of a character to make the Shazam comic. Or excuse me, the Shazam movie. They drew on the worst version of his comic book mythology to make that film. I don't want to see them do that with Batman. Did you read the rumor that the bat symbol on the costume is made from the gun that killed his parents?
I did read that.
See, dude, just quit trying so hard. None of that stuff's a cool detail in my mind. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. I need him to hate murder and give his life to stopping crime from ever hurting someone the way he was hurt by it.
Yeah.
So this is where my irrational opinions come in. Like, get away from that stupid crap. Get away from year two. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, cherry pick it. Do not have him doing anything with Chill's gun or whatever they're going to name the guy who killed his parents. Just get him out there being a detective.
Yeah. I had read some reports where there have been a lot of pumpkins on set.
Okay.
And that got me optimistic that maybe they're trying to do the Long Halloween.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Because it feels like that they're casting everybody to be a villain in this movie. Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. So I would be optimistic about that. But it's too early to tell. I understand. Again, I understand why they want to push, the suit reveal and things like that out there. But I don't know, man. I want to like this movie. You know, I'm a Batman fanatic, and I always want his movies to be good. But Batman versus Superman was definitely not my cup of tea. And kind of hurt the Batman product, in my opinion. I don't want it to wind up in the wrong hands and us to regress after having, 7 to 8 years of great Batman movies, you know, with the Nolan trilogy. I hate to see it go back to, like, you know, I mean, we're not bat nipples and cod pieces, and it's a cartoon. Everybody act like it's a cartoon, but also in the wrong hands, this storytelling and mythology can really be messed up. So,
sure. See, I think that DC as an editorial body under Warner Brothers' care is in the wrong hands. Mm-hmm. At least it seems like they've consistently demonstrated they are. I don't want to be negative, Nancy. I don't want them to make the obvious terrible choices that rumors seem to suggest they are. So I'll just join you in being hopeful and try to tamp down my cynicism.
Yeah, like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic about it. Now let me ask you this question. I read yesterday that there is a rumor going around that Marvel may buy DC.
Oh wow, that's a Vince McMahon move.
Yeah.
Huh. I'd love that. I'd absolutely love that. I think I've said on here before that I'm kind of a DC first guy. If somebody sticks a gun to my head, I like the DC characters more than the Marvel. I spend a ton of time with both, but I default to DC. I don't think right now DC is run by people who really love comic books. Mm-hmm. and love what has accumulated over the years within comic book culture. Now, listen, Marvel's not killing it either. But Marvel has more of that than DC has evidenced having left in it. And so I would be very much okay for that shakeup. And also, as a guy who likes Captain Marvel, the original Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I've always thought he would work better in the Marvel universe as a kind of Superman than being a replication of Superman in the DC universe. So, let's get him in there.
Yeah. excuse me. I just read that on and offbeat. I think it was even a tweet or like a Facebook status or something where somebody said, yeah, the rumor is that Marvel's thinking about buying DC. And actually my friend Big Al, who's been on the show before, he mentioned something to me about it the other day. I'm for it, dude. I'm for it. I would love to see Feige tackle all the properties from DC.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, there's going to be pushback on that because he's going to try to Marvelize those movies and make them successful. but you know, there's always going to be pushback on stuff like that. But I would much rather see somebody with a proven track record of superhero movies like Kevin Feige take control of it than Warner Brothers and DC, who clearly don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I know we have legit comic book, you know, fans and readers who listen to our podcast. So I want to be clear. I don't want every DC character interacting with every Marvel character in a shared universe. I thought that might have been implied by my, like, let's get Captain Marvel in the, Shazam in the Marvel universe. I just mean, just take him, across the reality divide and keep everybody else in their own little ecosystem.
Yeah. Although if we could have Shazam and Captain Marvel in one scene doing the Spider-Man meme, I think that would be funny.
That would be fun. That would be
fun. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we've nerded out enough. Let's talk some thriller. Let's talk some horror content. I found this trailer today for a movie by Anish Chiganti.
Okay.
Do you remember that name?
I do not.
Okay. Anish Chiganti is the writer and director of a movie that you and I both love, but is very, very underrated. Searching.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a movie called Run. And the synopsis is very brief, but it is this. A homeschooled teenager begins to suspect her mother is keeping a dark secret from her. And it stars Sarah Paulson.
Well, look, I'm pretty much all the way in at this point.
Right.
Huh. So you watched the trailer then?
I did.
Was it good? Did it pique your interest?
No, it didn't. I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt for these reasons. It's Sarah Paulson acting like a crazy mother. It's Anish Chiganti in his follow up to Searching, and it's Sarah Paulson. So I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. It looked like, honestly, it looked like any other movie with a child with what is that, Munchausen syndrome? Is that would be the accurate description of it? It looked like anything. You know, there's a Hulu series right now about a mother who's keeping her daughter sick. I forget the name of it. This is going to make me mad. You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I'm trying to get my head around it. So we're talking Munchausen by proxy. Obviously, it was at the heart of The Sixth Sense.
The Act.
Okay.
Is the name of the is the name of the Hulu series. It's about Dee Dee Blanchard and her daughter Gypsy, which I think was actually based on a true story.
Oh, okay.
I could be really wrong on that though, so don't. Okay, yeah. Although parts of the miniseries have been dramatized or fictionalized for the show, other elements are frame for frame or word for word reenactments of what actually happened.
Wow. So
that's terrifying.
Wow, yeah.
But anyway, it seems like any other any other story like that, but there are a few like horror elements in it. I should probably go back and rewatch it again.
Okay.
But like I said, I'm intrigued enough by those factors that I will definitely drive to the Alamo Draft House and watch it.
Huh. Okay. So you would tell me to watch it or stay away?
Yes.
So, yeah. I don't know if I'm going to watch it, the movie. So I guess I'm going to watch the trailer.
Yeah. And that's why I told you I wanted you to watch the trailer, because I just... It looks like it's playing out like any other. Yeah. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, but I'm not really sick. What's going on? But there are some elements to it where I'm like, okay. And I like that director, that writer director enough, and I love Sarah Paulson enough to be like, I'll give this a shot.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to trot right after that recommendation and agree with you on all those points. Searching was such a good movie, man. I need to go back and watch that again.
Yeah, it was a great one. And it's a wonder that neither one of us have went back and watched it since that first time.
I've seen it twice because I was eager to show it to my wife. She didn't go see it.
Oh, no kidding.
And as soon as it came out to Redbox, I ran and got it that night and we watched it.
Yeah, I was smart. I just haven't yet, but I need to for sure. And Also, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can go back several episodes and listen to our review of said Surging movie. And
get positive for what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure. those are very few and far between anymore. So
for real.
I'm about ready to change the name of this podcast to Saw Something Sucky, because that's all we're getting right now. Anyway, I digress.
I'll just be over here weeping quietly out away from the microphone.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad idea. Jeff, that's going to do it for this elongated version of
Jeff Hates Trailers.
Okay. Well, that means it's time to jump into
this week's horror.
These are quick hitters this week, Derek. Just some bits of information that I figure we should account for. One of them I actually didn't put on our run sheet. I just want to account for it. We got news since our last episode that Flanagan's Haunting of Bly Manor has wrapped up. Mm-hmm. And just want that on the record that we're all sitting around delighted and looking forward to seeing that thing come out. Maybe in a related sense, Jason Blum recently said that Jordan Peele has no intention of making a Get Out sequel. I say sort of related because The Haunting of Bly Manor is a follow-up to Flanagan's Haunting of Hill House. Anyway, so we're not apparently, based on Jason Blum's read, going to get that from Jordan Peele. He said, you know, initially back in the day, they had said that they thought about a sequel, but Blum told IndieWire that I'd love to make a Get Out sequel, but we would only do that if Jordan wanted to do it. And as far as I know, he has no intention of doing that. Back in 2018, he said, the producers and I agree, this is not the kind of movie you make a sequel to just to make a sequel to make more money. The movie transcends the business that it did. So if I can get a story that feels worthy as a follow-up in that world, we'll do it. And if not, then absolutely not. And I guess I'm of two minds. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I really appreciate Jordan having integrity as a creator.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked on here before that sequels have the power to ruin the way you thought about the original film. And
looking at you, strangers.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely don't want that to happen to Get Out. I also love Get Out, and I wouldn't mind spending more time with some of the characters. And so what do you think? Is this generally a good thing or generally a sad thing?
I think it's probably for the best. You and I talked about when that movie first came out that we would love to see more backstory on the Coagula.
Yeah.
And the family, you know, and how that whole cult came to be. But man, it's such a great standalone movie.
Yeah.
That I would hate to see. And here's the thing, because a sequel to Get Out would have such unreal expectations that I doubt that Peele would be able to meet them.
Yeah.
Not bagging on Jordan Peele at all. Just knowing how beloved that movie is and knowing how we as cinephiles will set our expectations, excuse me, too high. I feel that he's probably making the right call on that by leaving it as a standalone movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very reasonable. Let's just get Jordan Peele making more stuff. If it's not going to be Get Out, base stuff, then just whatever you feel like working on, Mr. Peele.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man. I want Jordan Peele to be able to make all the things.
Yeah.
And, you know, just eagerly await the next written and directed by Jordan Peele movie. So bring it on.
Have you taken a look at – oh, I bet we're about to ask each other the same question. You go ahead.
Oh, no. I just said bring it on. That's all
I was going to say. Oh. Have you tuned on – I can't talk. Have you turned on Hunters on Amazon, that Nazi hunting thing he had a hand in?
I haven't, man. I don't have much time to watch much TV right now, so –
Well, Christy and I are catching up on HBO's The Outsider, which is really slow. It's taking its time, but we're really captivated by it. But when we get done, that'll be the next thing up, I think, for us.
Yeah. I've been on the road for the last 6 weeks, and my goodness, I'm so sorry. I've been on the road for the last 6 weeks, and so I really haven't had a chance to watch much TV. So now that I'm back in Branson, I'm trying to get my apartment set up, number one, and then I've got a bunch of stuff I've got to watch. Watchmen. I've got to finish Chernobyl, so you and I can talk about it.
Oh gosh, yeah.
I want to watch Westworld. You know, there's a new Westworld season coming up pretty soon that I haven't got the chance to watch. Since we're naming off crap that we've been watching, have you seen Dracula on Netflix?
You know, I haven't got to that yet. I plan to, but I haven't.
Brother, let me spare you.
Oh, really?
Watch the first episode and then just chuck it.
You know, that's interesting. Someone else told me the third episode is such a disappointment.
It was 1:30 in the morning, Jeff. And I audibly said, what the F did I just watch? Like, and I live by myself. Like, I have no one else to talk to when I'm at home. And I was so disappointed with the way that ended.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You could watch the second episode. And then there's a pivotal moment in that second episode where as soon as that happens, you could just turn that series off and be like, okay, I'm done.
And be done. Huh. Yeah. Well, okay. Good to know.
Yeah, the first episode, dude, is tremendous. I told a friend of mine the other day, I would watch it in theaters.
Really?
Okay. I thought it was very well done. It set a great pace. It told a great story, and I was like, here we go. This is what I want from Dracula. And the second episode is okay, which you know, the guys that did Sherlock did this, and Their MO has always been like a really strong first episode. The second episode is kind of weak, but then they always drive it home on the third one, you know, in their seasons. And man, they pooped the bed on this one.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll do just what you said. I'll watch the first two and then be done.
Yeah. Yeah, because the you will be left with intrigue for the third one, but if
just squash
you,
it.
Yeah, if you watch the third one, you'll just be like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I just wasted an hour and a half of my life.
Should I read like a Wikipedia summary?
Dude, just come talk to me about it.
Okay. Okay. Cool, cool, cool.
Be like, hey, I finished the first two episodes and what happens? And I'll tell you, and then you'll laugh and you'll be like, there's no way that's actually happened. You're ribbing me. And I'll be like, I'm not. I promise.
Okay. All right. Well, dadgummit, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should feel better about having one really good episode or being disappointed that I didn't get more, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, the only reason to watch the whole series is the gentleman that plays Dracula, and I don't know who he is. I don't think I've ever seen him before. I think he's a Danish actor. But the gentleman who plays Dracula in that series is having the absolute time of his life.
Oh yeah, that's fun.
And that really shows through in it. But yeah, whew, man, it's that third episode goes off the rails, son.
Okay. Well, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Speaking of heads up, we recently, as you already mentioned, reviewed The Lighthouse, and we are on the record about loving The Witch. We got some news from Robert Eggers' next film. It is, according to him, dark and unusually violent. It's going to be called The Northman, and it is a Viking revenge film. So the pick, this is from Deadline. The pick is described as a Viking revenge saga set in Iceland at the turn of the 10th century. Eggers penned the screenplay with Icelandic poet and novelist Sjón. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but it's a word that's arranged as a name that I don't respond to very well as an English speaker because there's umlauts and accent marks and things that I don't know how to pronounce.
Wasn't that the bad guy in Mortal Kombat?
Sure. Sure. He threw skulls at you.
Yeah.
He apparently is also a poet.
Wow. I didn't know it.
Yeah. Some people just have a diverse set of skills. Eggers said that it's going to be a bigger movie than others as well.
Oh.
Do you remember in our review, our brilliant review of The Lighthouse, that I told you I thought that maybe Eggers had a type that he was working with, isolation in New England and strange supernatural events to kind of draw his horror from?
Yes.
Well, in the same interview, I think the producer, another name I can't pronounce, so forgive me. The producer said, I think Eggers feels a responsibility to do a trilogy. And apparently Eggers had told Bloody Disgusting something similar to that in 2018. He said, The Witch and The Lighthouse are me trying to commune with folk culture of my past and are me and my brother's take on New England folk tales. So they're certainly companion pieces. Anyway, I think that's Robert Eggers telling us we're right first. Two, there's no obvious way to me that a Viking revenge tale from the 10th century connects to New England, unless the Viking just shows up on American, well, excuse me, on the North American continent shores in the place that will become New England, which feels like a little bit of a stretch. But I guess we're supposed to think that this might end up being part of a trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah, I have very much the same response. It's hard to even think of the lighthouse and the witch as related.
Yeah.
Other than this idiosyncratic thing that's like, it's something in Eggers and his brother's head, you know, but I mean, we don't have access to that.
Yeah, man, I don't. Yeah, moving on.
Yeah. Now, did you ever see The Huntsman?
With Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth?
Well, then I'm probably thinking about the wrong one, The Huntsman.
Snow White and The Huntsman?
There was a medieval creature horror movie that was pretty short that came out last year that was really good. It was on Amazon Prime for a while, and then I think it made its way to Netflix. But it's this guy who's just living by himself. He keeps running off to battle. We don't really see the battle, but we see him come back and like heal up and hang up some trophies, and then you know, eventually a creature shows up and attacks him. Does any of that ring a bell?
No.
I cannot believe I have forgotten the name of that movie. I'm going to email that to you, and listener, if you could tweet this at us or put it in the Facebook group, you could save me some time. I'm going to send it to you because it's like the best version of what I hear Eggers pitching here already.
Okay.
You know, I don't watch a lot of movies that look like they're set in Skyrim, but this is like, this one was a really good version of that.
Cool.
Yeah. So maybe we'll see Eggers, maybe we'll see him exceed that standard. But my recommendation, since we know he listens, is less self-loathing masturbatory scenes,
yes,
less sex with strange flora and fauna. I think it would help.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't see that in The Witch, and it was awesome. So
yeah. Stick with what works there, buddy.
Yeah.
Last little bit of fun news. Apparently, Chris Evans is in talks to play the evil dentist in an upcoming Little Shop of Horrors movie.
Yes, he is.
You and I like horror movies. We like musicals. Are you excited for this?
Yeah, dude. I'm pumped. You know, Chris Evans is definitely one of my favorite actors. And, you know, it's good to see him branching out and doing other things besides Captain America. I watched, of course, Knives Out. We've talked about that in several of the latest episodes. But I also watched Snowpiercer the other night.
Oh, yeah.
And, dude, I had never watched it before, and that is a fantastic movie.
Yeah, that's the same guy who did
Parasite.
Parasite, right?
Yeah.
So I think you and I have talked about this. I loved Parasite. I thought it was an awesome movie. I think Snowpiercer may be better.
And I'm going to disagree with that, but
it was low-key one of the best movies I saw, whatever decade that came out. And, what's the sharp-faced woman who joins Chris Evans in that cast?
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton's really good in that. The story is really compelling. The world's really good. I'm a big fan of Snowpiercer.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. It is on par with Parasite, but I still say Parasite's probably the best movie I've seen in 2 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you have high affections for that one.
I do. Yeah, but it was really great, and just to see him branch out and do other things besides, you know, hey, I'm a Boy Scout Captain America is really fun to watch. His turn in Knives Out, I think he steals the show in that movie, and that's difficult to do with the murderer's row that's in that thing. But man, he's great. And Little Shop of Horrors is low-key one of the musicals I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And the dentist role is one of those roles that I've always been drawn to. So I think he'll kill this.
Well, it's got a really good cast coming together already. Taron Egerton is going to play Seymour. Scarlett Johansson is going to be Audrey. Billy Porter is up to play the voice of the plant, Audrey, too. So, I have high hopes for this one.
You know, yeah.
I love the Rick Moranis one.
Oh, so good.
But, yeah, I'm up for this one, too. I'd also just ask you, does this read to you as Chris Evans playing with house money phase of his career?
Probably, yeah.
I think you're right that he was great in Knives Out. And I think maybe one of his motivations was to be like, let's get people used to seeing me drop crazy cuss words rather than playing a Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the Elijah Wood thing, right? Like, I've got to get people to stop thinking of me as a hobbit. But if I can keep getting work, I can do whatever I want because I've made all my money now.
Yeah.
And I'm up to seeing him play Orin, whatever Orin's last name was.
Crentist.
Okay.
That's an Office reference for you Office fans out there.
All right. So get on it, Chris Evans. We're behind you on this.
Yeah. Sign that deal. Cut the check.
You told me, I think off air, that you didn't particularly love Dr. Doolittle. Is that right?
Oh, dude, it's so bad.
Right now, what are the odds in your mind that Chris Evans has a better post Avengers career than Robert Downey?
I think that's definitely possible, man. Downey. I mean, I go on record as saying that Robert Downey Jr. is my favorite actor of all time. But Downey has a hard time opening movies that aren't Marvel based.
Yeah.
You know, the Judge is one of my favorite movies.
Sure.
But I think when it opened, the weekend it opened, it was like fourth in the box office rankings. Doolittle is not a good movie. But I also have a feeling that Downey wants to direct. And so we may see him move behind the camera instead of being in front of it. Although I think that any movie would be dumb to not have Downey in it, especially right now when his star is as big as it's probably ever going to be. But I could definitely see Chris Evans having a more flourishing career post Avengers than Downey, just due to the fact that, like, he's already been in good movies outside of not only good movies, but well received movies outside of the Marvel universe.
Yeah. And he's got a few years, you know, behind Downey in terms of age.
Yeah. 100%. Evans is like probably in between you and I.
Yeah.
As far as our age goes. And I think Downey's turning 55 this year.
Sure.
So, I think that Sherlock Holmes 3 is going to do well for Downey. I think that he has interesting projects coming up, but if they wind up being like Doolittle was, man, that movie should have been great and it was garbage.
Hey, I'm going to tell you and our listeners, you kind of panicked me there just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've just looked. Evans is a couple months older than me.
Oh, well, there you go.
It may be confusing to you that he is in peak superhero form and I am slovenly middle-aged form. But chronologically, he has a couple more months on the odometer than I do. Okay. A couple more months.
I see. Yeah, you're right. I couldn't remember if he was 36 or 38. So that's my fault.
I just needed to do it to comfort myself.
Yeah, but the thing is, man, is like if you had that kind of trainer and, you know, Marvel's unlimited amount of money, you could look that way too.
Yeah, that's sweet of you to say, but that's so disconnected from reality.
But it's not, though.
That's a good friend move. I appreciate that.
I wholeheartedly believe it.
Well, you have enough faith for the both of us, okay? Well, on that chortling note.
This has been this week's Horror.
So, Derek Zhu, I know this is the moment you've been waiting for.
Dude.
Are you ready to pull the curtain on Bronze, The Boy 2?
More than anything in my adult life.
What has become of us?
I don't know.
Is this movie so bad we don't even get to pull the string?
Yeah. We may not get pull the string until we review a good movie on air again.
All right. Well, do we call Mark in?
No.
Okay.
I don't care.
Well, Derek, I'm going to say I think this movie almost achieves perfectly acceptable horror.
Oh, you're entirely wrong, but speak your truth.
This movie is a paint-by-the-numbers horror movie.
Yes.
Everything that happens in the movie, a person who's watched like six horror movies knows is coming, but it is also February 25th. And the last movie I saw in the movie theaters that was aimed at the horror audience that also had a lot of British accents wasn't even a whole movie. And so just comparing this against The Turning, it's paint by numbers, but it completes the narrative arc. There's a couple times that I got, I don't want to say scared, but I got invested
Shut
in
up.
The moment.
I'm going to throw my headset off and end the Skype call.
I'm going to tell you this. There is one moment in that movie that I reacted to physically, and I'm really not proud of myself for it. It's a confession of shame, but nonetheless, it happened. And so, again, in the context of February 25th, when nothing good is coming out in movie theaters in the horror genre, this thing just almost, like the little engine that could, chugs its way up to something that you don't loathe yourself for having gone to see. It doesn't quite get there.
Incorrect.
Well, it doesn't quite get there. You still kind of feel like you need to reexamine some of your choices when you come out of the hour and a half that movie represents. But it almost gets there.
So there's a lot to unpack.
I'm already giddy. Unpack.
Number one, did you call The Turning The Turning?
If I did, it was Freudian and completely accurate.
Okay. If you did not mean to do that, I feel like that's officially what we're going to call that movie from now on, if we ever have to talk about it again.
Done and done.
Yeah. Number two, this movie is terrible.
It is. It really is not a good movie.
You're right. It is very formulaic. It's very paint by numbers. Dude, I have watched movies that are 3 hours, 3.5 hours long that I sat through and I was like, oh my gosh, that felt like nothing. I sat through the 82 minutes of this slog yesterday and repeatedly checked my phone. At one point, I walked out of the movie theater.
Were you aware that you'd done it, or did your body got on autopilot?
Well, I had been beaten by these two men the night before, and now I'm starting to have these dreams where I just sleepwalk. No, I knew I had to pee, but I normally don't pee in movies. I'm normally just like, yeah, I'll hold it. But in this one, I was like, I'm not going to miss anything. Like, I know what's coming. Yeah. And if you didn't know what was coming, they had wonderful drawings of everything that was going to happen in the movie. So I hated it.
It's like watching a Wikipedia summary of a horror movie. I get that.
Yeah, I hated it so much. Nothing made sense. Even I just wish they would have been bold with it. Like, this lady has head trauma. Maybe she's the one causing all this stuff. Like, they allude to it. They allude to it in a couple different parts of the movie. Had that been the twist, even then I would have been like, oh, okay, this movie still sucks. But I'd been like, hey, that's at least you're going out on a limb. But there was no limb. There was nothing. There was Katie Holmes, much like we said when we watched the trailer together. There was Katie Holmes looking pensive. And there was the creepy little boy that is apparently you have to have that in every horror film ever now. You have to have a creepy little tween with curly hair. And the only person that I rooted for in that movie was the dad. And what I wanted for the dad to do was to leave that family.
Yeah. So with the dad, I thought that guy was just there to be either the surprise, quote unquote, reveal, bad guy who had attacked his wife in her home and had botched the murder attempt, or to just be eye candy. And that guy was better than I thought either one of those things would provide him the opportunity to be. His name's like Owain or something, and Owain punched above his weight class.
Yeah. He did a really good job in this movie. He was also in the Belkov experiment. You remember that god awful movie?
I never watched it. I knew I wanted to stay away from that one.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
Owain Yeoman.
Yeah.
Good job, Owain.
Man. I thought that he was really he did a really good job in this movie. It's like being the black highlighter for this movie. Like, yeah, I'm glad that I didn't pay like legit money for it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad that I caught it on the season pass. God bless you, Alamo Draft House, for that.
Grumble, grumble.
Yeah, dude, it's the best. You know, and Yeah, it just, I don't understand. Like, okay, I want to go back to where we were watching movies like Get Out and like It and these movies. Yeah, these movies were like, oh my gosh, this is what horror needs to be. I feel like that somehow we have taken 15 steps back and we are in like the horrible sludge of the mid-aughts where nothing seemed original and everything seemed formulaic and bland, and even like big name actors. It's just, dude, the most depressing part about that movie, I think, was looking at Katie Holmes and being like, my God, she is evolved into my mother.
Okay, like, on this front.
Big glasses, frumpy sweaters, like that's how my mom would dress.
Yeah. This is the part where I get our podcast canceled if people don't hear me all the way out. Katie is one of the rare women who's just blessed with stunning beauty, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, mm-hmm. It does seem, though, that she is aging worse than Tom Cruise.
Well.
And is this because he fed on her youth?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Tom Cruise has got that Scientology money where they sacrifice virgins every 66 days for him.
Yeah, he's bathing in blood.
Yeah.
So I don't mean that as a criticism of Katie. So one thing I appreciate about her choices, and I think Jennifer Garner has been clear about doing this too, is that she's not perpetually chasing her most youthful appearance,
mm-hmm.
which I think is, you know, if women want to do that, that's their call. But I do think we're a little bit over obsessed with youth, and we think that only that beauty or attractiveness has to be consigned to, like, you know, 18 to 36 years old. You know, I don't think that's a particularly good thing about our culture. So I appreciate that Katie is choosing to let herself age in public. But I just, there's a scene where she's reading a book. And the Brahms doll is on a couch kind of to her, adjacent to her in another room. She sent the boy mm-hmm. to his room and she's reading, and she doesn't even look like Katie Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder what, I just want to know more about how she's making choices about her public appearance.
Yeah.
Something's going on there. I think it could be Tom Cruise's fault, or it could, you know, in more seriousness, it could be her just taking an honorable embracing of aging. I just want to know more. I don't have any right to know more. I'm just interested in knowing more.
I think that the second thing is probably what's going on is she's just saying like, hey, this is natural and this is how I'm going to be from now on, you know?
Yeah. I'm not 20 anymore. I shouldn't pretend like I am.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that is a choice that I think is, you know, we throw away around the word brave a lot. I know this is all comparative bravery. But that's a pretty brave choice for a woman who's in an industry obsessed with looks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not brave like, you know, charging a burning building to save a child. I get, again, it's comparative, but that's a pretty brave choice for an actress, and I commend her for that.
Yeah. But also, let's be real about it. Katie Holmes is 41 years old. So, I mean, I think anybody, any like normal person would kill to look like Katie Holmes at 41. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think really why this is in my mind is that movie Bombshells came out not too long ago. And my wife and I were talking specifically about this issue that Charlize Theron doesn't look like she has aged in multiple decades.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Kidman, maybe you could possibly say you can see some age compared to, I guess the first time I saw her was that Tom Cruise movie where they were like out in a pioneer setting. I can't even remember what that was called, but.
Days of Thunder.
It was even before that, I think. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I think so. They were like in a pioneer love relationship trying to survive in a harsh environment.
Cold Mountain.
Even before then. You can tell that those ladies have fought aging in some fashion. It could be by bathing in the blood of virgins.
And yeah, well, it's like my friend Vince Morris says, black don't crack and white stays tight if you sew it up right. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. That could be what's going on. I don't want to accuse those ladies of anything. I just clearly they have taken a particular approach to how they're going to age in front of cameras.
Sure.
And it looks to be different than what Katie has done. And I don't don't really want to like beat up on Kidman or Theron, but I do want to say that Katie's taking a more interesting and in, like I said earlier, in some ways, something that looks braver path into her 40s and 50s and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about her as an actress?
Well, one more thing on all that stuff is I wonder if losing the Batman franchise just caused her to not give a crap anymore.
It could be. It could be.
For the record, I think Katie Holmes is wildly attractive.
She's a beautiful woman. Beautiful woman.
It just really hit me watching that movie yesterday, where I was like, "Oh my gosh, she really like she's turned into my mother."
Yeah,
you know. And this is a
was a beautiful woman every day of her life. You know.
Oh yeah, thank you very much. But it's just, I guess it's just kind of things that make you realize you're not immortal. Or when like your childhood crush turns into your mother, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, sure.
You know what? I grew up watching Katie Holmes in Dawson's Creek when I was 11, 12, 13 years old, and I thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world. And now she is wearing these, you know, now she's in mom clothes, and you're like, oh gosh, death is inevitable.
The heat death of the universe approaches.
Yeah, I guess that was the biggest. I guess that was the biggest statement I was trying to make with all that. Apologize for us going down a rabbit hole. I think that she is a decent actress. I don't think that she's the best. I don't think that she's on the level of like Meryl Streep or even Charlize Theron for that matter. But I think that she's good. But she is given no favors in this movie.
Yeah. So here again, I think despite our different conclusions, we're pretty close. I watched Katie in that film and thought, yeah, she could be in a better movie than this. Why is she not in a better movie than this? It makes me sad. Like, I want to know what her agent is thinking too. You know, I want to know what her approach is to her, you know, her golden years. And I want to know what, and not that she's in her golden years, but just, you know, that she's no longer 20, as we talked about. And I want to know what her agent thinks he's doing, putting her in projects like this.
Yeah. I've always, and again, going back to this, I've always wondered if she regrets dropping out of The Dark Knight to do some kind of like money movie with like Queen Latifah and Diane Keaton.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that's what took her out. That's right.
Yeah. It was, give me just a second. Mad Money was the name of it.
And that's what she was after.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think that a lot of it had to do with Tom Cruise being not necessarily jealous, but protective of his career and wanting to make sure that he was the superstar in the relationship. And I think that he had a lot to do with her decision making through that. And, you know, and quite possibly, I think that it did damage her career a little bit. But I've always wondered if the trajectory of her career would be different if she would have stayed. And of course, as we know, and spoiler alert for those of you that have never seen The Dark Knight, and if you haven't, what's wrong with your life? You know, Rachel Dawes obviously is she's a plot device. I'll just say it that way so that we're not spoiling anything for the movie. But you know, Rachel Dawes is a plot device for The Dark Knight, and I just wonder. You know, that movie for a hot minute was the biggest movie of all time. Yeah. And I just wonder what her life would have been like if she'd have stuck around and done that movie instead of going after Mad Money.
And it was a turn for her because she still had the, you know, the girl next door appearance, but she played a very strong woman who was, you know, fighting very directly crime in that film. And then if she'd have hung around for the second one, Maggie Gyllenhaal's role, I don't know if they expanded it, but I imagine it would have been something similar. And
yeah,
she's, you know, that character is really at the heart of the second movie, which was the best of the trilogy.
Right. But not only that, but, you know, I remember going into the 2005, into 2005 with Batman Begins, and you've got Christian Bale, who at that point was relatively unknown, but you also had Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, Gary Oldman, who else is in that? Liam Neeson, like these heavy hitters, you know, in Hollywood. And then you've got Katie Holmes. And I just remember being like, this is what's going to make her go from TV star to A-list celebrity.
Yeah.
And it did. But, you know, she was also at that time dating Tom. And it was a perfect storm of stuff. I just wonder, you know, when you go into the next movie and it's, you know, it's the same people, Morgan Freeman, Michael Caine, Christian Bale, Aaron Eckhart, Heath Ledger, Gary Oldman, like that's a murderer's row. And in 2008, Katie Holmes felt like she fit that. You fast forward 12 years and she doesn't feel like she would fit in with those people anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think that's really fair. I don't know if it's salvageable, but I think she's better than this material.
Yeah. No, she 100% is better than this material. She should not have been anywhere around this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Two just terrible mistakes in this movie that I want to highlight.
Just two?
Well, just two that I thought were particularly egregious. The movie tries way too hard to justify the history of the doll causing people to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Katie does the magic Google search, which I've just come to loathe. It's just it's lazy writing at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this movie could be, you know, that could be the description on the tombstone, lazy writing. But she just starts pulling up all these Victorian era pictures of murder and death.
Mm-hmm.
Before camera technology was widely available, before it was published in newspapers, before it was archived for future people to magic Google, they all have clear pictures of Brahm somewhere in the shot. This movie would have been served. I don't know if it would make it a good movie, but this movie would have been well served to just have all of that exposition from the guy the dad meets at the emergency room,
mm-hmm.
who tells him that the groundskeeper is a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to show me, this movie, it's hard to suspend your disbelief for this movie anyway. But as soon as she's pulling up pictures from like 1804, I'm going, yeah, that's not possible. Stop this.
Yeah.
I also thought it was a bold and terrible choice to make the doll demon face built around a butthole.
Yeah. He's a butthole spider for you Good Place fans.
You know, it's not that surprising when the porcelain cracks off that you see there's an entity underneath there. I don't know what that entity is supposed to be. Is it a spirit that is taking physical form? I don't know.
I just told you, butthole spider.
Okay. It's a humanoid butthole spider.
Yeah.
Whoever was in charge of creating this creature, the human sphincter is never a good look for a face. I have referenced this before, but if anybody out there has read the comic books called Preacher from Vertigo, which I do not recommend, I don't endorse those, or you watch the TV show that Seth Rogen brought to AMC a couple years ago, there's a character whose name is something I'm not going to say, but he basically has a butthole for a face, and he does, you know, whoever wrote Preacher deserves credits for this Brahm monster design.
Yeah. Man, this movie is terrible.
Sometimes going bold is the wrong choice.
Bold choice, Cotton.
And at one point, like the butthole face constricts and something leaks out of it. And I'm like, guys, what in the actual heck are you doing right now? Who didn't stop this?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm probably way too animated about this. I thought it was a terrible choice.
I just laughed. As soon as the face came off and the butthole spider came out, I just laughed because I was like, this is exactly what you want. Like
it's the signal that nobody cared about this movie.
Yeah. You know?
Nobody at any point thought, I actually care that my name is attached to this film.
And dude, then that's what it is. Brahms, I guess, or the boy or whatever the freak the first one was called, made some money, had Lauren Conrad in it. You know, she's got that Walking Dead clout. It did okay. And so they said, hey, we'll just throw Katie Holmes in this and we'll throw everything against the wall and whatever sticks, that's the script. Hey.
Yeah.
And they threw it in February because this is where movies go to die.
Yeah.
And, you know, every once in a while you get a gem like Get Out. Every once in a while you get a gem like, you know, I saw Parasite in January. I know that it had been out for several months, but that was the first time I got to see it. And again, like I said earlier in the show, it's the best movie I've seen in quite a long time. Yeah, man. This was this is a movie that as soon as we get done with the recording of this podcast, I will never think about ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. It deserves every bit of that.
And Katie Holmes, you deserve so much more than what you got in this movie. And I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for your agent. I'm sorry for your management team, if you still have it. I'm sorry for Jamie Foxx, who you're apparently dating. I'm sorry that he has to be subjected to the, you know, to going to see that at the premiere.
I read they broke up. It could have been over this movie.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah. Maybe he saw the butthole spider and he said, nope, I'm out. Can't do this anymore.
Well, just two notes, one more funny than the other. Actually, no, they both fall into the comedic heading. You're right about everything you said about this movie. I just feel like for a February horror movie, it almost got me to a place where I thought this isn't misery, pure misery. One, you mentioned the lead of the previous film, The Boy, as Lauren Conrad, which would be a very different movie.
Oh, who was it?
Lauren Cohan.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And then, do you want to know the scene that I reacted to physically?
Yes.
You got a picture, guys. I'm in a secondary theater at my little small town local movie theater. If you follow us on social media, I was in an empty theater, just me, myself, and I in there watching this movie. And I have been doing some of the stuff you talked about. Like at one point, my legs were sore and I just stood up and started stretching because I had the run of the place to myself. But anyway, as the movie's winding down, we're in that confrontational scene in the boiler room. And Brahms has possessed this young boy and is controlling him. And the boy has the double barrel shotgun aimed at his mom. Dad comes in and I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Dad comes in and croquet mallets the doll. And the shotgun drops. You remember this scene?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I literally like threw my hands up like, oh no, the gun's going to go off when they drop it. And I may have never been more ashamed of myself, maybe. And of course, the gun didn't go off. And I just was rejoicing that I was the only one in there who knew I was a fool.
This movie's terrible.
The last thing I said in that empty theater, because I said a lot of things out loud as I was watching the movie, was when you kind of have this, oh, the family has all weathered the storm scene.
Mm-hmm.
I said out loud, please don't let Brahm have survived.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the end of the stinking movie. And again, it's as paint by numbers and formulaic as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a terrible movie. It really is a bad movie. I just think for February horror, it's not the worst one I have seen this month.
Yeah, but dude, that's such a low bar. Like, that's not, like, I'm sorry. That's not what movie should be about. We shouldn't be going, well, it sucked, but at least it wasn't the worst thing I've seen so far. Like,
yeah.
And I get it. I understand. I don't think that I've seen a 2020 movie in theaters this year where I walked out going, huh, you know what? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like everything is sucked.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everything sucks right now. And you go to the movies to get away from all that, and it's not good, or it's not fair to subject people to subpar entertainment because you know that they're gonna go watch it. Like I don't know if it's the I don't know how movies are marketed or how they're edited or anything like that. But for me and for and I would assume for you as well, if you and I had a movie studio, I'm not gonna just make crap for crap's sake just because I know I'll get a $10 million investment back on it, which I don't even know if this movie recouped its money or not. I hope it didn't.
I haven't even looked. Yeah.
I hope that enough people went, no, I'm not watching that crap, and they decided not to go see it, and they're going to take a loss on this one.
Yeah.
And they are. So as of right now, it was on a $10 million budget. It is grossed $5.8 million domestic and $8 million worldwide. So
that's much more probably, than it deserves.
Yeah, it'll probably wind up making its money back, but it's a terrible movie. And I hate the fact that when you and I first started this podcast, you know, we were subjected to things that were outside the box as far as horror went that were good. And I just hate the fact that it feels like the last three or four episodes of this podcast, we've done the movies that aren't good, you know, with The Lighthouse being the exception just based on the performances. But, you know, this and The Turning and a couple other things that we've had to watch, it's just, it's very frustrating that this is what we're getting. And it's very frustrating that, like, that you had to say, well, as far as horror goes in February, this isn't the worst thing I've seen. Like, that just shouldn't be the measuring stick.
Look, you're not wrong. I absolutely agree with every bit of it. I'm just desperate to, like, to enjoy a movie.
And sure.
This movie was terrible. It really was truly terrible. And I just didn't, in context, I didn't want to play it alive because The Turning was really terrible. And for February horror, you know, if you had to create a special cesspool that was only horror movies released in February, this would be among the better ones. Mm-hmm. And as the horror uncle, I feel like it's my obligation to acknowledge that.
So I'll disagree with you on that. I watched Fantasy Island and I thought it was better than this.
Well, that may be. I need to go see Fantasy Island for sure.
It's still very formulaic. It's very, you can catch the turn real quick.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to go for a twist ending, and the twist ending doesn't make sense. It's very convoluted. It's very, hey, I kind of lucked into this, even though it feels like I've made this amazing plan the whole time. But I walked out of it going, you know what? That wasn't a waste of my time. Okay. I enjoyed the characters and to me, I kept going, man, I could make this movie a lot better. Mm. Like I could have made this movie a lot better. But this piece of garbage, I was just like, this should never have been made.
Yeah.
They should have taken the script and put it in that butthole spider and sent it into the furnace where it belonged. Like, just trash, man. Just trash. Just because you suckered Katie Holmes into this doesn't mean that you should have the right to sucker everybody else into it.
Yeah, not wrong. And so I think what I've just figured out is that I need to go see Fantasy Island, and maybe that's their review next time.
Sure. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine. I personally am going to go see The Invisible Man on Thursday night.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'd love to talk to you about that too.
Okay. I'll try to catch both of them. We'll figure one of them out.
Yeah.
Well, look, dude, this thing is dead. We went long form on it inadvertently. Scale of 1 to 10?
0.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 3. I thought Katie was tolerable. Mm. I thought Owain was better than he deserved. And I didn't come away looking to pick a fight with the director the way I did the Turning. It's just a bad movie, though. It's not a good movie.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give points to Katie on this. I don't think she did a good job in this movie. Mm. She, and speaking of which, like at the very end of the movie, when she comes home and the kid's like, "Mommy, I missed you." Did you notice how awkward their hug was?
Yeah, yeah. There's no real chemistry between mom and kid for sure.
Yeah. So I really the only good part about this movie, in my opinion, was the dad. The kid was very paint by numbers. Like I've seen that kid in every bad horror movie over the last 10 years. It feels like.
Mm. I mean, they didn't express a lot of confidence in the kid in keeping him from speaking for the first three quarters of the movie.
Right. But even then, like, there's nothing. I mean, I feel like we could get one of your boys to sit there and look upset at a dinner table, and it would come off better than what that kid was doing.
Maybe I'm just cynical.
Maybe I'm just really mad that I invested time in this movie. Like, I don't want to bag on a child. It's not his fault, but. There's a reason that you have directors, and I just remember watching that last scene and him be like, "Mommy, I miss you," and they barely hug, like it's a really awkward hug, and I just remember being like, "Could you have not have been like, oh, okay, let's try that again?"
Did we run out of digital storage for that, for the shot?
Yeah. Like, let's not Ed Wood this thing. You know, I know I've said this countless times on the show, but there's one of my favorite parts of the movie Ed Wood is where they're filming a scene and, you know, Johnny Depp is playing Ed and he goes, all right, cut, check the gate. And the guy goes, you don't want to do another one for like continuity's sake? And he's like, why? That one was perfect. Moving on. And I just feel like that's what we deal with a lot in these horror movies is like, oh, yeah, we don't have a lot of time, guys. We got to shoot this thing in 15. This is this is like the porn of horror movies. We got to get this thing done in 3 hours. All right. So, Sam Jackson, go ahead and get over here. It's just. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm very, very frustrated with the lack of good movies that we've seen lately.
Yeah, that's well said, sir, and it's accurate. Do we want to even ask the question if we saw something scary?
I mean, you got scared by something, so
that's true. That's please don't remind me after we end this episode.
yeah, man, it's just I don't know. Do better, Hollywood. Do better for fans of the genre. Do better. No one needed a sequel to The Boy. No one was clamoring for a sequel to The Boy. I think that you enjoyed that movie more than I did, the first one. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I did not like it at all. I thought it was, again, just like this one, very paint by the numbers. Oh no, he's alive in the walls. Who saw that coming? Well, I did. It's just stuff like that's not good. And I'm not asking you to be Jordan Peele. I'm not asking you to be, I'm not asking you to be, who else? Flanagan. I'm not asking you to be like these visionaries, but I'm asking you to do a better job with bringing these stories to life. And if you can't get a good story out of it, then don't do it.
Yeah. Stop wasting everybody's time.
Yeah. Because you know what? Honest to God, Jeff, I'd much rather us have to branch out and do other genres of movies than have to sit and watch garbage after garbage after garbage every week to put a podcast out. And that's where I feel like personally, that's where I feel like that I am.
Yeah, that's bleak.
So welcome to the darkest timeline.
Derek Zoo, get us out of here, man. We've given this film all the attention that we can and more than it deserves.
Yeah. Hey, so if you would like more cheerful content like this, you can subscribe to our Patreon account at patreon.com/scarypodcast. And for those of you that have subscribed to the Patreon account this month, Jeff and I are reviewing a better movie. We are reviewing Parasite. And I know technically it's not what you would call like a regular horror movie, but there are some horror elements into it. And for the love of God, we need a good one to review. So we're going after Parasite, and that will be a Patreon only review. So if you want to know our thoughts on it, more so than what I already gush on this free show every week, subscribe patreon.com/scarypodcast. Little as $3 a month, you can help us make this podcast better, and you can also get that bonus podcast. We've also talked about the aforementioned Facebook group. We saw something scary. That's the best way to get a hold of Jeff and myself. And then also you can email us at sawsomethingscary@gmail.com. He's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo. And I promise you next week I will try to be more positive about whatever garbage we have to review. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for being patient while we get everything set up. And with crazy busy schedules and things, I know that I feel like that I say this constantly, but we are going to try to get back to our normal regular schedule of recording a new episode every week.
Help us out, Hollywood. Give us some good stuff to watch.
Yeah, man. For sure. Otherwise, I don't know. We're going to have to figure something out. But let us know what you'd like to like for us to review next. Would you like to hear our thoughts on Fantasy Island? Would you like to hear our thoughts on The Hunters? Would you like to hear our thoughts on The Invisible Man? Whatever you guys want, we're here for you. And ultimately, we want to make sure that you guys are enjoying this podcast. So so let us know. Get in the Facebook group. Tweet us. Call me, page me, whatever you want to do. For Jeff Wright, this is Derek Zhu saying thanks so much for listening, and to beware of clowns in sewers, blind men with turkey basters, white people with teacups, and apparently dolls with butthole spiders. We'll see you guys back here next week. Bye-bye, man.